good to see you again here on another Bible study day. And we've got a real good...
Our text today, scripture, comes from... This was probably written by a student or a protege, so to speak, of Isaiah. Those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we all become a part and are adopted into that family.
And God is going to give you an opportunity to be good, kind, to elevate, to help somebody.
All right, we're going to get right into our lesson today. And we've got a real good lesson. Happy Wednesday. Good to see each and every one of you. You know what they say about Wednesday. Wednesday is hump day. So we thank God for you being with us in our Bible study on today. If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 4, beginning at verse 25. We'll be at verse 25 through 42. John chapter 4, verses 25 through 42. And our topic for today is no insignificant witnesses. There are no insignificant witnesses. Aren't you glad about that? I like to say that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things through, and I sure am one of those, the least of these. So here we are. Let me just kind of set up where we are today. Jesus, of course, is ministering in John 4. This is the earlier part of his ministry, and Jesus has encountered the woman at the well. That's where we are here in John chapter 4. And of course, his disciples had gone off to find them food. They were hungry, and they were fetching, if the old folk used to say, they were fetching food for themselves as well as for the Lord. They found themselves in a region called Samaria. Note this about Samaria. The Samaritans were not the Gentiles. They were, however, noted by Jews of, in particular, those of Judea. They were called half-breeds because when the Assyrian army had come in years prior to that, around 700 or so B.C., before the Common Era, the Assyrians went in and plucked out large numbers of people, and who were, of course, Jews. They were part of the Northern Kingdom, and they planted them into other regions of the country, even the world. So then they made available the Northern Kingdom, which was called Israel, made available that property, that land, to these foreigners. Those who were left behind, if you would, married with these foreigners. And it's not a matter of mixed marriages as in ethnicity. It was mixed marriages as in religious beliefs. That's why the Word of God is clear that you want to be evenly yoked, not unevenly yoked, because I know she's pretty, and amen, I know she might be showing up fine, but let me help you understand something. If that sister, brother, that you are going after is not a Christian woman, sisters, I got you, I heard you, I'm going to flip it. He might be all of that, might have muscles, might even be able to make his chest jump up and down. You know how our brothers do when they showing off their, you understand, showing their muscles and all that kind of stuff. But understand, if the brother don't know Jesus, you've got a mess on your hands. Amen. So it is important that you recognize that it's not, it wasn't about the looks, it wasn't about the pigmentation, it wasn't about the size of that man's big, big muscular chest, it wasn't about, that young lady. What it's all about is your relationship with God. So then, based upon this, y'all, and especially the temple that was there at Mount Gerizim, having also had been destroyed about 100 years prior to this encounter that Jesus would have with this woman. It was destroyed by those in the southern kingdom, by the way, of Judea. These people didn't really like each other. As a matter of fact, you'll note that Jesus could have circumnavigated around this region, but he went through Samaria, amen, somebody, and encountered this woman at the well. And look, watch this. Jesus, after having encountered this woman, y'all know the story. The woman, number one, wanted to know, you know, why are you talking to me? Because we usually don't talk to each other. And Jesus makes it clear to her, ma'am, if you really knew who you was talking to, hello, somebody, you'd be giving me water. So this is where we are now. The Lord being a blessing to this woman who was no insignificant witness. Some of us are ashamed of our yesterdays. Some of us are ashamed of our past lives. Some of us are ashamed of our past experiences. But let me tell you something. When the Lord saves you, wherever you are no insignificant witness. Look at verse number 25 and we'll begin our lesson there. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Amen. He will tell us all things when the Messiah comes. Now, bear in mind that as Samaritans, they only upheld the first five books of the Torah. We call that, of course, you know, when you're talking about the first five books, it's called the Pentateuch. Amen. But the Jews, if you would, they added, I mean, and you know, we have it in our Bible. So they didn't do anything wrong. Not only do we have the Pentateuch, but we have the Psalms. We have the poetic writings, rather. We also have the historical writings. Amen. Don't stay with me. You understand, we have the prophets and the major prophets. We have the minor prophets. All of that, if you would, being in the Hebrew Bible, noted as the Torah. This woman says, though, recognizing their commonality, she says to Jesus, I know that the Messiah is coming. Both of us are waiting on the Messiah. Her understanding was different, though, from the Jewish understanding. The Jews, think with me, they were looking for a savior, somebody to save them from their Roman occupiers and oppressors. This woman, her understanding was that when the Messiah comes, he's going to bring people back to true faith. Lord have mercy. I think that this is a lesson for so many of us who think that we know so much. We need to be careful of thinking that just because we attend Sunday school, we know more than the person on the street corner. See, because you don't really know the experiences that people have had. That's why I believe that it is important for us to treat everybody with dignity, everybody with integrity. Amen. And treat folk like you want to be treated. And don't look down on folk. Actually, that's called prejudice. Be careful about prejudging individuals. But no, verse 25, based upon this Holy Ghost encounter, it wasn't a chance encounter. Based upon this encounter, both of them, hallelujah, were espousing the same thing. She was looking for the Savior, the Anointed One, and here's the Anointed One right there in her presence. I would beg to help somebody understand today that we do, as human beings, have more in common than we do otherwise. I really believe that. I believe that we would have better race relations. I believe that our country would be better if we just go on and admit to the fact that all of us want to have a safe place to live. All of us want our kids to go to safe schools. All of us want to have good streets to drive on. All of us want to have good parks to play in. I just believe in my spirit that we have more in common. In verse 25, bless her heart, they had more in common than otherwise. Why don't we start looking for the commonalities in people as opposed to always seeing the differences in them? I hear all the time, matter of fact, going to be interviewed tomorrow. You're the first black male. Amen. Let me tell you something. Number one, I know I'm black. Amen. Praise be to God. Number two, I know that I would not be where I am if it had not been for the bent backs of my cotton picking You hear what I'm saying? People pick out my cotton picking ancestors. I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't get a hand up from somebody like a Kerry Thompson who, my God, now almost 30 years ago. And Doris, if y'all looking at this, y'all remember what we used to have? We used to teach kids. We did remediation in the summertime. We were all real young. And Irma Nash, Alice Ponder gave us a whole wing of the school, and Deacon Herbert Shepherd was two things. Herbert Shepherd was our was our campus monitor, and he was our bus driver. And we drove the kids out there, and Doris and Sharon Massey, they would be teaching, and Carmen Ossini would be teaching. And now listen, these were folk who had other jobs, but they took their summertime and they taught young people every day. And then here comes Dr. Thompson. Now y'all got to know Kerry Thompson. She wears them big pretty hats, and she came in looking for the person in charge of the program. I'm a kid. I was a kid. I wasn't but about 25, 26. I'm telling you. And then she said, "Who's in charge?" And I said, "Well, ma'am, you know, I'm the pastor." She looked at me. She said, "Oh, bless your heart." But watch this. It was that chance encounter that made a way for me to teach at Tarrant County College. It was that chance encounter where I moved from being a teacher there to a counselor there. It was that chance encounter that allowed me to then serve as the coordinator of the whole district's ESL program and GED program. A chance encounter. Let me help you understand something. You don't know who you're meeting, and you don't know what they can do with you and for you if you just let the Lord have his way. Amen. I stayed on that too long. I'm sorry. Verse 26 says, Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Look, the one you're looking for is the Messiah. She've already acknowledged that Jesus, of course, what she will in verses 28, 29, will acknowledge that he is a prophet. But Jesus is saying, oh, you got more. You got more than just a prophet. Here's a lesson here. You know, oftentimes when we have our divine encounters with God, what you need to know is that usually there is more there than the eye can see. Amen. Think about it. When God is dropping blessings in your life, truth in your life, understanding in your life, amen. That usually when we have an epiphany, because this is that time on the Christian calendar, it is that encounter that we have with the divine. When God, amen, assigns you, when God blesses you, when God opens doors for you, all you can really understand is what you're looking at right now. But the eyes, your eyes don't always tell the whole story. The woman came in contact with Jesus looking for the Messiah, and he was right there in front of her. Amen. There's some people right now. You're listening to me right now. You've been talking to God all night long. Amen. Maybe it's about an ailment. Maybe it's about some money issues. Maybe it's about your companion. Maybe it's about your kids. But I need to tell you that God has not departed from you. How do you know? Well, because the God we serve is omnipresent. Omnipresent means he's everywhere, all at the same time. Our God is a spirit, and they who worship him are called to worship him in spirit and in truth. Think about it. Verse 27, Bible says, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou? Why talkest thou with her?" They marveled because, watch this, write this down. Jesus oftentimes broke cultural norms. Amen. You need to write that down. Jesus broke cultural norms back then. And even now in some of the Far Eastern religious practices, women and men did not, number one, worship or serve in the same location. As a matter of fact, women were not allowed to attend the rabbinic schools. That's why when Mary and Martha in that story, Martha was upset with Mary because Martha knew her place. Amen. At the time, Martha's place was preparing the meal for the guests. Was cleaning up. Ladies, don't y'all. Come on now. Don't beat a brother up. I'm just teaching a lesson. Her job back in the day was to keep the kitchen clean. But watch this. She got mad at her sister Mary because Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus being taught like the other men were taught. Jesus broke cultural norms. When Jesus saves us, he saved society, and the original curse that was rendered upon us through Adam and Eve, that curse is broken when we come to know Jesus as our personal Savior. Walls come down. Cultural norms are done away with. Amen. The ethos changes because the encounter, what Jesus does is Jesus brings about equality between the genders. Jesus brings about equality. So here they marvel because why in the world is Jesus, in their minds, a great prophet, in their minds, the rabbi? What is he doing? Not only talking to a woman, but he's talking to a Samaritan woman who had already been established that the woman was an adulteress. Why is he talking to her? They marveled, but watch this. They marveled, sure did, but they kept their mouth shut. Amen. That was the sermon, remember, from this past Sunday. Keep your mouth shut. Don't be talking all the time. Amen. and his disciples came and they looked, and the text says they marveled that he was talking to this woman, but they kept their mouth shut. They didn't say one thing. Amen. Sometimes we need to stay quiet long enough to allow God to just move in our lives. I get anxious sometimes, as you can probably tell, because I jump around a lot. I get anxious. I'm one of those kids who, had a hard time, if you would, kind of staying in my seat. You know, not all the time, but if you needed me to stay in my seat for 2 hours, you're going to have issues with me. Got a whipping one time, got paddled one time, and in elementary class because I just couldn't sit there the whole time. And Miss Richardson, she wasn't in the class. So I figured since she wasn't in the class, you know, we may as well just kind of get up and just have a party. You understand? I was in fifth grade and got caught and got a paddling. But understand this in regard to this woman. There are times when you need to just let God move. You need to just let God work in your life. I'm talking to an anxious person right now. You're listening. You're looking at me. And what I'm saying to you with all due respect is you're wanting to attain whatever it is, your assignment. You want it too quick. The reason why you haven't gotten to that point yet is because you are not yet completed. You have not yet completed your training. You haven't cried enough. You haven't gone through enough tribulation. You haven't wanted it bad enough. Amen. I'm not saying that you're getting desperate. I'm saying that you gotta sometimes just hush and let God move. Let him move. Verse number 20, number 28 says, the woman, then she left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, this is important. Usually when people went to fetch or gather water, it was early in the day. But the Bible teaches, if you read more in John 4, the scripture teaches that this woman went there around midday after there would be nobody there because her lifestyle was such where she was embarrassed or ashamed about her lifestyle. They knew she was an adulteress. Jesus, matter of fact, you know, asked about her husband and she didn't lie. She said, you know, the man I'm with is not my husband. He said, you had 4 or 5 already. You understand what I'm saying? He knew who she was. He knew what she was. She knew who she was and she knew what she was. But watch this. When you have an encounter with Jesus, when you have a real encounter with Jesus, this woman discarded not only her water pot, but she discarded, set aside her shame. Amen. She set aside her shame. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, person A, you probably were a crackhead, but you know what? When I came to know Jesus, I set aside my shame. Yeah, Bubba, you probably were a whoremonger. Amen. Running from pillar to post, but I set aside my shame. You don't need me to go down the list. I don't need to be so graphic, but I bet you understand what I'm saying. We've got to learn how to set aside our shame. Amen. And to allow the Spirit of God to energize us and to put a fire in us and send us on a mission. This woman went on a mission. Yes, she did. She went her way into the city. The folk in the city knew what she was. The people in the city knew who she was. But she had such an encounter with Jesus to where she was going to make sure that she wasn't the only one. Amen. It's a lesson in that. We need to really be careful about saying that I'm going to heaven anyhow and to hell with everybody else. Pardon me, I'm not cussing. What I'm saying is we ought not be satisfied with unsaved kids. We ought not in our family. We ought not be satisfied with our spouse who don't ever read the word. We ought not be so satisfied when we got bosom buddies, friends who don't know the Lord. We ought to love them enough to where you say in your head, friends, real friends don't allow their friends to go to hell. Amen. Don't miss what I said. Real friends, real husbands, real wives, real siblings, real parents will not allow their kids to go to hell. Evans, I can't help that. No, but what you can do is you can be a continuous source of hope, a continual source of scripture. You can continue to give the word to them and keep pounding it in them and sharing it with them and giving it to them to where whenever they hit rock bottom, they will be able to grasp hold to the word of God and pull themselves up out of, by the help of the Holy Spirit, whatever mess they find themselves in. That woman threw that water pot down, went out to that city and say, hey, 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? First, watch this. Her straightforward message came in two parts. First, she gave evidence that Jesus was more than an ordinary man. I tell people all the time, you know, you quit saying Jesus is your buddy. He ain't your buddy. Amen. Jesus is our Savior. He's my best friend. He's more than that. See, because there are things that your buddy and your best friend wink at. They turn their back on. But Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Lord. Amen. And when you encounter Him and when you receive Him as such, that's a deeper relationship. Amen. Jesus is more than an ordinary man. Secondly, she proposed a question to them. Let me tell you what I saw. Let me share my experience with you. Is this not the Christ? If any of you have ever been in a predicament and the Lord has delivered you from that thing, I don't know what it was, but did you have enough God sense to say, oh, my soul looks back. I don't have to wonder how I got over because it was the Lord. Amen. There's a song that we used to sing back way back in the day. My grandparents, they sing it. The reason I pray so hard, I don't want to be lost. The reason I sing my song, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be lost when my Jesus comes. Jesus is more than just your buddy. He's more than your friend. That woman say, this is an extraordinary man. Look what he did for me. Look what he did on my behalf. Y'all come tell me, is this enough evidence for you to know it was him. Listen, for those of us who got these jobs and you knew when they called you, you wasn't qualified for it, but some way, somehow you grew into it and God allowed you to excel in it. You ought to be able to say, nobody but the Lord. For those individuals who you were down to your last dime and God put it, he put food on your table, he put gas in your tank, you ought to be able to say, Jesus did it. Is this not the Christ? Some of you have been on your bed of affliction. I mean, you were down and the doctors didn't give you much hope. Oh, but you're able to listen to me this morning. Should you not be able to say, it ain't nobody but God? That's all this woman said. Come, based upon my experience with this extraordinary man, he's the Christ. And I can tell you the same, based upon my experience with this extraordinary Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the Christ. And then in verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. Oh, hallelujah. The Bethlehem church is located 1.5 miles west of downtown Mansfield. When you drive down Broad Street, West Broad, you do not see our church quickly. No. Bethlehem is way down the street. But the Lord is so awesome to where, I'm just stating this, y'all, I'm not bragging. He's so awesome to where he sent and is sending 2,500 plus people down Broad Street away from everything on the east down here to the west. Now they're building houses behind Pioneer Place. They're building houses across the street. But I'm telling you before that, our church is 150 plus years old. And for 150 plus years, and y'all know I ain't that old. So for 150 some odd years, God has been sending his lambs to the Bethlehem church. You better hear what I'm trying to say to you. The best advertisement for any church are the people in the pews. Amen. Watch this lady, verse number 30. Bible says, they went out of the city and came unto him. How did they know about him? The woman told it. Amen. The woman gave her testimony. She didn't have to borrow anybody else's testimony. She had her own testimony. That woman went into that city. She was so convicted. She was so convinced to where she told them. She dropped her shame. She dropped her labels. And she said, I know what y'all say about me, but y'all got to come see this man. How many of you, amen, if it ain't but three of y'all at church, post and a pandemic, a pre-pandemic, amen, why in the world do you think ain't nobody running, trying to get down out of that church? You know why? Because a lot of us don't have anything good to say about where we worship. Amen. Don't have anything good to say about Jesus. Let me help you understand something. If you want to convince me, it's like a commercial. You see those actors that come on a commercial? They come on a commercial and they said, hi, I use an Apple phone. Yes, this Apple phone means a lot and I use it. Well, there you're going to have people trying to go buy an Apple phone. But if you get somebody on TV and say, hi, I have an Apple phone, it's the worst thing that you'll ever see in your life. Don't spend your money on, say it after me, repeat, the Apple phone. Ain't nobody coming down there. Listen, you got to believe that the church, that the Bible study or the circle group or that your pastor or that you've got to believe in your own mind that everything that you're doing on behalf of God's kingdom building, Christ's kingdom building is worthwhile enough to where you will put aside all your labels, worthwhile enough to where you'll put aside all your cuteness, worthwhile enough to where you'll put aside your shyness, and you'll tell people, come and see what God is doing down there at 1188 West Broad, or what God is doing at the Life Church, or what God is doing at the Central Baptist Church, or come see what God is doing at the Mansfield Methodist Church. Come see what God is up to. You are the best advertisement. And if you don't have anything good to say about your church, then go somewhere else. Don't be a part of the mess all the time. Go somewhere else. But the best advertisement was when this woman said, come see a man who told me all that I have ever done. That's your testimony about your church. Same with your family. You can't be sitting around the kitchen table talking about the minister of music. Huh? Amen. The youth pastor ain't this. The pastor ain't that. The pastor's wife ain't this. That sister up there singing ain't no good. You are on Satan's team when you do that kind of foolishness. You have been enlisted as one of his imps. Because, and watch this, and then had a nerve to be trying to ask them same people to talk to your kid after that kid has heard you week after week, day after day, year after year, talking about the church ain't no good. Amen. She was the best advertisement. The best advertisement is you. Amen. Amen. Either way, that works both ways. You can either help bring folk in or you can help run them off. Let me keep pressing. Verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. In the meanwhile, while all of this was going on, they had pretty well dismissed the woman. But yeah, you know, she gone. Man, it's time here. Eat your piece of pizza. You know, whatever they're getting ready to eat. Come on, eat. Watch Jesus. But he said unto them, verse number 32, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Amen. In other words, Jesus is saying to them, he's not, you know, he's living water. John 4:10. He told the woman that already. But what Jesus is saying here is that I've got other motivations for my ministry. Amen. You know, you want to eat right now. And I know some folks, they'll fight you when they get hungry. Jesus is saying, I've got other motivations. There are other things that's feeding my spirit. There are other things going on that God has me doing that energizes me. People ask me all the time. They say, my gosh, you know, just today, sister said, you just need to get somewhere. I said, but here's the deal. My energy comes from loving my wife. My energy comes from being a daddy to my kids. I mean, I like that. My energy comes from my granddaughter riding on my back. My energy comes from teaching and preaching the word of God. Did y'all hear that order? My energy comes from there because my ministry starts at home first. And when I get that juice from the house, then I'm able to give some juice here. But also, we've got good teachers and preachers at Bethlehem. I also am able to sit under them and listen to them and then lead them if that's the will of God. My juice is in serving the citizens in Mansfield. He put that there. Jesus said, I got some more meat that y'all don't know about. I've got other things feeding me, energizing me, pumping me up, firing me up. There's other stuff going on. I remember one Sunday, and I praise God for Reverend Alton Wilson. He had just started preaching. I remember that Sunday. I preached at the first sermon, service. And I went in the back right here in this chapel, and I said, I can't. After church was up, I said, I can't do the second. They said, what's the matter? I said, man, I got a headache like I've never had before in my life. Come to find out I had meningitis. I mean, for real, meningitis. And was in the hospital, and was having some bad days in the hospital too. But the assignment was to preach. Now, Yeah, that was crazy. My head was hurting while I was preaching. Bad. If you ever had meningitis, you know what I'm talking about. But there are other things. You know, I say this to senior adults. My great aunt told my grandmother years ago, we were at a family reunion. And Ain't Baby, that's what we called it. Y'all know, you know, y'all got Ain't Baby, you got Ain't Baby. This is our Ain't Baby. Ain't Baby, who was my great grandmother's younger sister, just right up under mama, said to my grandmother, Ain't Baby had just retired. And Dia, my grandmother, was talking about retiring. And Ain't Baby said to Dia, she said, Pearly Mae, you better work as long as you can. She said, one of the worst things that I did was to retire. See, because Ain't Baby, she was in Kearns. Ain't but today ain't but 1,300 people in the whole town, 1,302, period. One stoplight to this day in 2021. Ain't Baby was saying, I lost my activity. The stuff that energized me. I mean, it's like Sunday morning. You know, I said last Sunday, I'm not bothering anybody. I'm not being mean. But we need to start practicing for reentry into the sanctuary. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when the doors open back up, I'm going to be in my robe. I'm going to be in my suit. I ain't coming in there in my pajamas. I mean, one is y'all going to have me committed if I do. But we need to start practicing for where we're getting ready to go back to. Now, it's not going to be the same. I understand that. But it's not going to be sacrilegious either. We need to start practicing putting on our shoes. We need to start practicing for those. I ain't going to say that. We need to start practicing putting on makeup. Amen. You know, amen. We need to start practicing. It was some other things I was going to say. You know, it wasn't nothing nasty. It was just talking about, you know, people's head, but people don't want to comb their hair. But it's something about preparing for what's getting ready to happen. This lady, here you got Jesus saying, I've got other motivation. Verse 33, he says, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him ought to eat? We didn't see anybody. Did somebody bring him some food while we were away? Then Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He says, my energy comes from doing God's work. Verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then harvest, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white all ready to harvest. What Jesus is saying is, my energy comes from the assignment that God has given me. Verse number 35, he said, y'all can't see the work we've got to do. Here you have these men now coming out dressed up in their white. He's talking about, he's using the analogy of grain when it comes to a place of fruition and maturity and ready for harvest. The grain it turns colors. It's not green anymore. It's kind of a brownish, a light brownish color. He's saying it's harvest time right now. And I'm saying to people myself, listen, we ain't got time to be sitting down. Let me correct this too. I'm not saying that you just be humans doing. We just studied this in our book study. But we need to be humans being. We need being the presence of Christ to the world. Amen. That's what we're talking about. Jesus is saying, you don't see all this that needs to be taken care of? Man, listen, I was listening to the news the other day. We had the audacity to talk about the government of Myanmar and a military coup and talk about we're going to sanction them. Well, who's going to sanction us? Amen. We kicking in windows and going on, you know, anti-Semitism, one group blaming the other one. You can't tell who anybody is anyway. And we got the nerve. I mean, we can't get on. America needs Jesus like right now. Can't y'all see? Can't you see all that we need to be doing right now? Our children Poor babies don't have any direction. Huh? Is anything goals in regard to a lifestyle now? You got folk who say they're Christian, but when they get out there on social media, they be saying some nasty stuff, Jack. Who's going to sanction us? Sanction Myanmar. How you going to sanction Myanmar? You sanction yourself. Jesus says, look, y'all. Look at all that needs to be. Look at all the work that we need to be doing right now. The harvest is white. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may gather together. See, he's talking about preaching. Verse 36. See, he said you need to put some word out there. That's what he's talking about. When he's talking about sowing, he's talking about planting seeds. Amen. We need to be doing some preaching and teaching right now. We need to be planting some seeds. Watch this. You know, we're talking about kids being at home. Well, what they're doing? Well, you know, I'm trying to work and he's over there on the computer. Okay. But in all that time when y'all wasn't able to leave the house, did anybody talk about Jesus? Was there any Bible study going on? I mean, I'm just asking. Verse 37, and herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. The bottom line here is Jesus is saying to his disciples, it's time to work. We've got work to do. 38, I sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you are entered into their labors. I think about Bethlehem so often. You know, people say, oh, your church, oh, y'all some praying people. Man, let me tell you something. Here's the deal. We are enjoying the fruit of other folks' labor. Amen. There was a time when Bethlehem didn't have indoor toilets. We didn't have none of that. And now here we are. You got 400 houses going across the street, 350 behind Pioneer Place that God built. And I just got through talking about 2,500 folks. Let me help y'all understand something. Don't you know that I know that somebody else plowed this field way before I got here? Those streets were named after people before I got here. Don't you know that? Moody Lane, Wilson Drive, Sayers, Billingsley. I mean, that's named after our past pastor. Don't you? Do you dare think that I believe that I'm all that in a bag of chips? Really? I couldn't be the mayor if it wasn't for a Deacon Chairman T.M. Moody and L.E. Billingsley, Pastor L.E. Billingsley, and then attorney, now Judge Clifford Davis. Man, please. Please. I get to strut my little old self up in the city hall like I'm somebody only because somebody else worked this field before I got here. If all y'all saying amen, before you got here too. Because all the charter members dead. Ain't no charter members alive. So, Jesus is saying, all y'all have to do, verse 38, is go and get the harvest. Reap it. 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Verse 39 says that if this woman had not opened her mouth and told them about Jesus, they would not have believed him. Amen. Your testimony is important. You need to speak up. You see your loved ones going in the wrong direction. You need to speak up. Amen. I'm not throwing bricks at your house. I got a glass house too. You need to speak up. They may not like it. They may disappear a whole year. You better speak up. Verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed because of her story. And you trying to hold your testimony. You can't hold your testimony. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. Now these are people who don't even speak to each other. But see, that word is the common denominator. See, Jesus is the one who brings people together. And in this text, you hear what they say, we want him to stay just a little while long. Stay here. And many more believed because of his own word and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, but we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. At some point, you're going to have to stop saying, Pastor Evan, say it. And you're going to have to lead somebody to the radio, to the TV. You're going to have to lead them to your Bible group, your Bible study. Jones is teaching on Wednesdays at noon. At some point, you're going to have to lead folk and let them hear the word for themselves. And then they will be able to say, I heard what you said, but I came to know him for myself. My grandparents, my parents, my parents, my parents and grandparents, they pointed me in the right direction. But Michael had to take hold himself. They did. They pointed me in the right direction. But when I came to know him for myself, you can't take me out of his hands now. He's my conscience. And I sure need a conscience right now. He fights my battles. He's my counselor. He's my deliverer. He's my way in and my way out. That's my testimony. And it is not insignificant. Neither is yours. May God bless you. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us, Lord God, that we are not insignificant witnesses. That you brought us, you kept us, you taught us. And we're leaning and depending on you. Save somebody through this Bible study today. Call some man, woman, boy, or girl to repent today. Make them make us better, God, because of your word today. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we pray this prayer together. Thank you, God, and amen. God willing, see you next Wednesday.